Welcome to JGL Law for You. This podcast is sponsored by Joseph Greenwald & Lake, a suburban Maryland law firm that has been representing clients throughout the D.C. metropolitan area and across the country for close to 50 years. JGL Law for You is a podcast by lawyers, but not for lawyers only. On JGL Law for You, we will bring you up close and personal with our lawyers and some special guests who will be discussing how to navigate the many legal processes, developments in the law, other current events, and how they may affect you, your family, or your business. Today, we're talking family law, specifically a new animal here in Maryland, the mutual consent divorce. And to talk us through it a little bit are two of JGL's family lawyers, Allison McFadden and Rama Taib Lopez. Allison is senior counsel with Joseph Greenwald & Lake, where she practices family law. She has focused on family law since law school, where she served as a student attorney in the family law clinic for three semesters. She represents clients from all walks of life who have one thing in common. They are seeking guidance to get through the most difficult periods of their lives. Since joining Joseph Greenwald & Lake almost 10 years ago, she has gained extensive experience in resolving cases before they ever reach litigation, allowing parties to resolve their differences privately and in a cost-efficient manner. Rama Taib Lopez is a graduate of the University of Maryland School of Law. Her primary practice area also is family law. She has past experience in immigration and criminal defense work as well. She's been a lawyer for 10 years and serves as senior counsel at Joseph Greenwald & Lake. Welcome to both of you today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
All right, so let's start at the beginning here. It sounds like a contradiction in terms, right? People are getting divorced, but it's a mutual consent divorce. What does that mean exactly? What is a mutual consent divorce, and what do you have to have to get one?
So really, it means that, you know, even though people are divorcing, it doesn't have to be that long, drawn out, nasty process that you often, you know, see on TV or hear about. If you're able to reach a resolution on all of the major issues that stem from your marriage, whether it's custody, child support, alimony, you're able to then take that agreement, reduce it to writing, and let the court know that essentially we've resolved all the issues stemming from our marriage. Can we just go ahead and get divorced without going through the long process that you normally have to go through if you're asking the court to make these decisions? So by reaching an agreement, if you're able to, it allows you to shortcut through a lot of the litigation process that gets you caught up in court for so many years or months. Years during coronavirus.
So the mutual consent piece sort of serves as a grounds, is that right? A grounds to a stat to get the divorce?
Yeah. So typically, I mean, other grounds for divorce would include adultery or one year separation, at least in Maryland. We practice family law in Maryland. So you have to be separated for a year if there aren't other grounds for divorce, such as desertion or adultery or cruelty. You know, those are the other types of grounds. And, you know, the newest grounds for divorce is this mutual consent, where you don't have to wait the 1 year separation period. So that's very, that's a positive that people see in this mutual consent divorce, or an incentive, because it's sometimes, you know, difficult to have to be separated for a year before even being able to file for divorce. So folks who have not yet been separated, but they're in the process of trying to get their affairs in order to separate, or maybe they're living in, you know, like separate quarters of the home and they simply can't afford two different households to separate at this time, but they're ready to loose ends and get divorced. So this mutual consent is a separate ground for divorce so that you can file for divorce without having to meet the other criteria.
So how does this differ, this mutual consent idea, differ from what we lawyers know of as a no-fault divorce, and what clients sometimes come and say, oh, I just want a no-fault divorce? How does a mutual consent, this vehicle to get people from married land to divorce town, how does this mutual consent grounds differ from, you know, from what people think of as a no-fault divorce?
Sure. Well, the no-fault divorce really means that you aren't saying that anyone was to blame, quote unquote, for the separation, but instead that you've been separated for the, in order to move forward then with a no-fault divorce, the grounds are that you have to have been separated for a period of time. The mutual consent divorce gets rid of that waiting period where you have to be separated. Also, with a no-fault divorce, really, at that point, you're just saying that you don't have grounds such as adultery or desertion. It doesn't mean that an agreement has been reached on any of the issues. So if you want to move forward with the quote-unquote no-fault divorce, essentially, you're asking the court, you're saying, we've met the grounds of a period of separation. And now we would like for the court to resolve our issues. As opposed to the mutual consent divorce, you're coming to the court and saying, we've resolved all of our issues. And both of us are still in agreement with the terms that we came up with, have this agreement in writing, and we would like to get divorced without having to go through the separation period.
All right, so let's talk about this agreement. This has to be done before one files based on mutual consent. Is that right?
That's correct. So you have to have a written agreement in order to move forward with a mutual consent divorce, which is different than other types of divorce where you can put an agreement on a record in front of a judge or have an oral agreement that you put on the record that can be used to go forward with a judgment of absolute divorce. And the judgment itself will then memorialize that agreement. As opposed to with the mutual consent divorce, you need to have all of the terms laid out in writing and signed by the parties. And that agreement has to be presented to the court. And both of the parties have to attest that they still would like to move forward with that agreement. Either party decides that they want to set aside the agreement or that they're no longer want to move forward with it, then that stops the mutual consent divorce process right then and there.
All right. So I want to ask you about the agreement in a second, But Rama, let's turn back for just a moment, you know, go back in time in the old days, and I've been around a little longer than you have, but where people couldn't really negotiate their deal, right, while they're living under the same roof. They couldn't really file for the most part while they were living under the same roof. And there were stresses in those days, right? Because who was going to move out? Who was going to stay? What can we do? That sort of a thing. How can we afford the two households? So does this mutual consent grounds for divorce, does this alleviate some, for those people who want it alleviated, does this alleviate those types of stresses?
Absolutely. So that was definitely one of the challenges before where, you know, one party didn't want to leave until they had some assurances by the other party. They wanted to make sure that certain allegations weren't going to be alleged against them. Like, for example, desertion, or a lot of folks are under the misconception if they leave the home, then they can be accused of, you know, waiving their interest in the home. So the ability to have or negotiate an agreement while still living together and still being able to file for divorce kind of alleviates that challenge. So one of the difficulties, of course, I mean, folks who are getting divorced naturally are having a difficult time communicating with one another. That's probably one of the reasons why they're getting divorced. The couple is getting divorced. So what we often find is we see, you know, people either they can negotiate it themselves, you know, the agreement, or in the event that they can't negotiate it themselves, they both lawyer up, both parties lawyer up, or they get counsel to negotiate the terms of the agreement for them. And that also alleviates some of the pressure inside the home. That way the parties themselves, while they're still under the same roof, don't have the pressure of having to discuss the terms constantly, having to negotiate the terms at the kitchen table. They can have their attorneys do that behind the scenes, and the attorneys will communicate with one another. So that, again, alleviates the pressure and the tension at the home. So this is maybe a modern way of resolving, you know, when they say mutual consent, it's really just, you know, we're resolving our issues. We're getting this done. It's a resolution of our marriage, the way I see it. You may not be divorcing by, you know, this is not what you want, but you're able to resolve the issues stemming from your marriage.
All right. So let me ask you a follow-up to that, because I imagine that people out there are listening, saying to themselves, well, do I really need a lawyer? If I'm going to go this route, right? We agree on everything. We know what we're going to do. We're going to do with our children. We know how we're going to do with our house and the rest of it. Do folks need a lawyer? Is this a situation where maybe, hey, we could do it on our own and not worry too much about getting counsel?
Technically, you don't require an attorney to write down the terms of your agreement. However, I always tell, clients who just consult with me, maybe just, once or twice, letting me know that they are trying to negotiate the terms of an agreement with their spouse. I say, at the very least, at least have an attorney familiar with the family law in your state. At least have them review the agreement before you sign. Don't have them review it after you sign and then ask questions about it. Because it's often been too late or much more difficult to take that back, to take that signature back. It's not impossible. So always have an attorney review the agreement first. If you and your spouse are able to, to put the terms in writing, you want to make sure that you have all the terms that are required to satisfy the mutual consent divorce requirement. So you need to make sure that the agreement contains all the provisions that's needed. Does it contain terms regarding alimony? If it doesn't, if alimony isn't appropriate in your case, does it contain the requisite language regarding the waiver of alimony? Does it contain terms regarding the distribution of your property? Does it contain provisions regarding if there are children or dependent children in your family? Does it contain the requisite language for care, custody, access, meaning visitation, and child support? And do those terms, for example, child support, do the terms regarding child support and custody, are they going to pass muster with the court? Because when you go to court and you file for divorce, the court is going to review your agreement. They don't just rubber stamp your agreement. Before a magistrate, they take the time to carefully review the agreement, make sure that it has all the elements that it needs to have, first of all. And if there are children, they're going to make sure that the terms regarding custody and child support are in line with the law in that state.
So if there's anything that's left unresolved in this agreement, you're not going to be able to get that divorce via mutual consent, right?
Correct.
All right. So that in and of itself sounds to me like a reason to have counsel help in this regard, although it sounds on the surface like it should be an easier swim. Not having a lawyer may cost people more in the long run than they think it's going to cost, right?
Exactly. You really want to make sure that you have all the elements satisfied and that the terms are going to meet the threshold of the law in your state.
All right. Allison, talk a little bit about the filing portion of this, right? So these two folks have reached their agreement. They've had counsel. However they've gotten there, they've got a settlement agreement that resolves all of their issues, issues pertaining to their children, their finances, who's paying for what, division of assets, and so forth. And there's nothing left for a court to decide. What does the filing look like? How long does it take? At least in the areas that you practice.
Sure. So once you have the full agreement, it's been signed off on, then you need to file the appropriate, what are called pleadings with the court. So the court knows that you're asking them to grant this divorce. So one of the parties is going to have to file first, and they file a complaint. And for the mutual consent divorce, it's a very basic kind of complaint that you have to fill out. But again, statutorily, you have to include certain information about when you were married, whether you have any children, et cetera, et cetera. And in that pleading, you let the court know we've reached an agreement on all of the issues and we're asking the court to move forward on an uncontested divorce on the mutual consent grounds. Then up to your spouse, your soon-to-be ex-spouse, to file an answer. And it's especially important with a mutual consent divorce because they need to affirm for the court that they are not trying to set aside that agreement and that they would also like to go forward with that mutual consent divorce. Once those pleadings are filed, you also file, you know, a joint line asking the court to set in that uncontested divorce hearing. And that's going to be a quick, probably 10-minute hearing where either a magistrate or a judge is going to walk through the basic information that's in the complaint and that's in the agreement to, again, make sure it's meeting all of those statutory guidelines that it needs to for you to be able to get that judgment of absolute divorce. Right now, during coronavirus, the court is still moving forward with these pretty quickly because they're able to do most of it remotely. So whereas a lot of the other contested proceedings have slowed down and continue to face delays from the past year, in my experience in Montgomery County, Howard County, Frederick County, Anne Arundel County, most of the counties in Maryland, they are moving these through where, you know, from the time you file until the time you get your hearing, it's really only a couple of months.
So let me ask either or both of you this question. So my spouse and I have reached an agreement. We both have counsel. We've signed off on this agreement. She's filed for divorce under this mutual consent statute. And my lawyer for me has filed an answer in which I've said, okay, yeah, I want a divorce also. I consent, that sort of thing. But before the hearing, I'm asking about the hearing in a moment. Before that hearing, what if I change my mind? What if I say, you know what, I think I want to do something different. I don't like what this agreement says in terms of the schedule for our kids, or I think I missed something when it came to the agreement. Forgetting about the merits of my position, can I pull out of that deal? Can I say no, withdrawing my consent?
You certainly can. And this is one of the very few times when you're able to kind of go back on an agreement. And the reason is because this mutual consent divorce is based on the premise that there is an agreement. And it has to be affirmed at that hearing that there is an agreement. So in the intervening time period, if either party says, hey, I thought about this a little bit more, they find out new information and they no longer want to move forward with that agreement, you can't move forward with the uncontested divorce hearing.
Okay. So moving back to everything is resolved, Rama, what does a hearing look like? I mean, is it, we have to go to court, or it's virtual? Is it, I have to get sworn in? How does that even work?
Sure. So it varies from court to court, and it varies from magistrate to magistrate, even within those courts, within those county courts. But typically what happens is both parties go to the hearing and they're both sworn in. They're both going to testify. Lately, obviously with coronavirus, their hearings have been conducted via Zoom, but otherwise it's in person and you testify. Sometimes you take the stand to testify, but these hearings are a lot more informal. So a lot of the magistrates allow the party to just testify from their seat across the bench. So the questions are very, very simple. And the hearing, the entirety of the hearing lasts 10 or 15 minutes, depending on the terms of the agreement and how complicated the agreement is, or if the magistrate has any questions about the agreement. But typically, both parties are asked, you know, to state their names, their addresses, that whether or not they understand that they're here seeking a mutual consent divorce, whether it is their desire to have a mutual consent divorce, and whether or not the terms of they're in fact to the terms of the agreement that they've already submitted to the court. And as I mentioned, the court may ask questions about, you know, their children, the party's children, their ages, if that information is missing from the pleadings or from the agreement, just so that the court can have some additional information. But if everything is done properly and all the information are in the pleadings and in the agreement, then it goes very smoothly. It, like I said, it only takes about 10 to 15 minutes for both parties to testify, identifying themselves, affirming that they want the mutual consent divorce, affirming that the agreement contains all of the terms, resolving the issues stemming from their marriage, and that they want the agreement incorporated into their judgment of absolute divorce. And they're on their way. Now, the parties aren't divorced necessarily at the end of a hearing with a magistrate, however, because a magistrate is technically not a judge. the magistrate does, and they'll say it on the record that, you know, I'm recommending this case for a divorce. They're going to sign, you know, report and recommendation that will be sent up to a judge, and the judge will put pen to paper. And when that pen to paper is entered with the court clerk, then you're officially divorced.
But they don't have to go back to court, right, to see the judge. They're testifying. There's just one hearing here in Maryland, right?
Correct. There's just one hearing.
All right. So, Allison, let me ask you a couple last questions here. We've been talking about the law here in Maryland and this mutual consent here in Maryland. We have people who are going to be listening out there outside of the state of Maryland. What would you tell those folks if they're interested in this type of an arrangement or seeing whether this is available in their state, wherever they may be?
The laws and requirements regarding divorces and how property is distributed and the grounds do vary quite a bit from state to state. But there are a lot of states where they have similar statutes where you either can file for a no-fault divorce and there's no time period, no waiting period before doing so. If you are in another state and have those kind of questions or want to see how you can best move forward, I would encourage you to reach out to a local family law attorney who can advise you on the best options for your case and how you can move forward in a hopefully an amicable and cost-efficient manner.
Excellent. Thanks to both of you for joining us today on JGL Law for You. Now, if anyone wants to reach either of you, what is the best way for them to get hold of you? Rama, you go ahead and go first.
Sure. The best way to get a hold of me is by email. My email is pretty long, so R-T as in Tom, A-I-B as in boy, L-O-P as in Paul, E-V as in zebra, at jgllaw.com.
Allison, and you?
Sure. So you can call into the main number at the firm and they'll get you in touch. It's 240-399-7901. It's also, if you want to send me an email, that's always a great way to get in touch. My email is amcfadden@jgllaw.com.
Again, thanks to both of you for joining us. This has been terrific. Everyone out there, we hope to have you jump back along on our next episode. I'm David Bullitt, and this is JGL Law for You.